is Margie Clark on City Talk 105.9.
Hiya gang, I'm going to introduce you to someone in a minute. They're making a phone call to me. It's Karen, and Karen's from the paranormality.com. She's got some fascinating information on near-death experiences. So let's get ready to speak to Karen. Hiya Karen.
Hiya Maggie.
Oh, lovely to be speaking with you.
And you too.
I'm speaking with Karen from paranormality.com. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right, yes.
And you've got lots of information on near-death experiences, Karen.
Yes, I have, yes. Anything you'd like to know?
Well, I'd like to know, when was the first recorded phenomenon of near-death experiences?
It was years ago. It was with Plato, believe it or not, about in the 500 BC.
So we're going back to Dot then, aren't we?
We are, yes. Yeah. And they've been mentioned in a multitude of cultures all over the globe. They've been reported throughout history. So it's not really a brand new phenomena, but it's become more prevalent over the years because we've got resuscitation equipment and people are basically coming back from the edge of death, and they're now able to report on what they're seeing when they cross to the other side, as it were.
Yeah, and most people's experiences are positive, aren't they?
Yes, absolutely. The majority of people do report positive experiences. Mind you, I would be lying if I said that everybody had positive experiences. Yeah. There are some documented cases of people having harrowing experiences. However, even though these experiences might have been harrowing, it has gone on to have a positive effect on the individual. So something positive has come out of it.
Yeah, because there's lots of life-changing events happen here, especially with people who maybe have a big fear of dying and passing over.
Yes.
It can really help, can't it, to know that it's not the end?
Yes, that's right. I mean, I've done a lot of research into the paranormal over my years, writing for my website, and I have to say that I think the near-death experience is possibly one of the nicest things to cover, because it does give genuine hope to people out there that death really isn't the end. And when you get people having near-death experiences where they're finding out information that they couldn't possibly have known unless they were actually outside of their bodies, this kind of goes on to reinforce the fact that there's a lot going on out there that we're just not 100% sure about
yet. But we're getting very close to a big... It's the time where lots of things are being revealed to us.
Yes.
You know, secrets that have been hidden.
Yes.
You know, things that have just behind a veil. Everything is being revealed.
Yes.
All information's... I have an experience. I don't know whether I'm on my own with this one, Karen.
Yeah.
But I can remember my own birth.
All right.
Yeah, and I've never met anyone else who's ever remembered their own birth.
No, I can't honestly say that I can remember mine. That's really unique, actually. I've never, ever heard of that. Mind you, some people do put the near-death experience down to memories of birth, and when you go through the tunnel, they say, oh, you're just recalling your birth.
Well, one of the great things about being able to remember my own birth... Mm-hmm. Is that when I was being born, I thought I was dying.
Ah.
And that's really interesting, because we've already been through that death experience before.
Yes.
In terms of when we're leaving the womb, we think we're leaving the womb to die, because that's everything we've known.
Yes,
so we've already had some experience of it. And if you've experienced something before, you've got the knowledge and you feel a bit, you know, safe because you've been through it. It's only because it's the unknown to us
that
really frightens us, when actual death, dying, it's part of the natural cycles of life.
That's correct, yes.
As we all know.
Yes, that's right.
I was reading something recently about near-death experiences, and the doctor or consultant decided to kit out the operating theatre with images that couldn't be seen unless it was from above.
Yes, I can tell you a little bit more about that.
Yeah, let us know who that was, please, Karen.
Yes, it's a chap called Dr. Sam Parnia, and he's heading up a team team at Southampton University, and this is going to cover 25 UK and US hospitals, and they're going to examine hopefully around 1,500 cases of people who are undergoing resuscitation.
Right.
And what they're doing is they're going to put brain measuring equipment while people are undergoing resuscitation and stuff like that.
Yes.
And they're also going to put random pictures at certain points where only somebody who is coming out of their body can actually see it. Yeah, that's right.
So there's also standardised in some of the tests here, aren't they?
Yes. I mean, this would give proof, I think, because they really are getting down to what I would call a nitty-gritty here. You know, they're really trying to test this and replicate it so that people who've got alternative theories like, oh, it's just the dying brain, or, oh, it's...
Or lack of oxygen and things like that.
Yeah, and things like that. They will actually be able to verify this, because if somebody does come out of their body, sort of in a spirit form, they go up to the ceiling and they can verify what they see, they will have had what's called a veridical NDE, which means that they can produce verifiable information.
Yeah.
And that is going to be really, really difficult for any of the sceptics to doubt.
You know, poke fun at. It's interesting times, isn't it? Because, you know, we're at that stage where science and the instruments they're developing are very sensitive.
That's right. Yeah.
And can pick up on what philosophers and people in the esoteric world already know.
That's right.
And,
that's right.
You know, this is a very 21st century pursuit, in a sense.
Yes, yes, that's right. Yes, I think this study will... it's called the AWARE study, actually. I think it will crack it. I think it will sort of say either way, definitely.
Well, you know that CERN, you know the collider that they've got over in Switzerland?
Oh, yes, yes. That's quite scary, I think.
Well, the Bogues-Higson, and it's some sort of matter that's there just for a moment after the Big Bang.
That's right.
And it sets up the theory of parallel universes.
That's right.
And other dimensions.
That's right. I think that particular particle, sometimes referred to as the God particle.
Yes.
Because it's so elusive.
It's only there for, infinitesimal amount of time. And it's what gives form and shape to everything.
That's right.
And
yes.
You know, if they get that collider working again, that's what they're after, is proof of this.
Yeah.
And it hooks in again, what we're saying about the scientific world,
mm-hmm.
trying to, work together with philosophy and religions.
Yeah.
To give some, groundwork of proof. People would love proof, wouldn't they?
It would be wonderful. I mean, I'm really holding out a lot of hope for this study with the Southampton team and Dr. Campagna.
Yeah.
I think that if they can just get... say one or two people that have this out-of-body experience and fly up and can verify what's on top of the chest or wherever they've put something, that is going to be so difficult to sort of knock on the head. What it's doing is it's meaning that scientists are going to have to re-examine the relationship between the body and the brain.
Yes.
You know, the body and consciousness.
Yes.
You know, is consciousness just purely a function of the brain, or is consciousness actually located somewhere outside of the brain?
That'd be interesting. We can emanate massively, can't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
What drew you into the paranormal world, shall we say?
Oh, I'll be totally honest about this. When I was a child, when I was about 10 years old, and I remember it like it was yesterday, I used to come home for my lunch, and I remember a series called Arthur C. Clarke's Mysterious World.
Brilliant writer.
Yeah, he was absolutely... absolutely superb.
Yeah.
And I was brought up on a diet of Arthur C. Clarke.
Plenty of science fiction for you.
Yes, he does science fiction, but he also does. He also did a lot of sort of research into the paranormal as well. And it kind of inspired me. I mean, I've been developing my website for over 10 years now. It kind of inspired me to put together an A to Z, an easily accessible A
like
to
a compendium.
Z. Yes, a compendium, so that people can, you know, just dip in and get a flavour for what it's all about.
Well, you know, I think people's consciousness, you know, we're in the 21st century, and it's definitely been raised. If you wanted to discuss what we're talking about now, Karen, and took it back 10 years, well, then it really was in the crank side of things, you know, and people were ridiculed and laughed at and didn't think that it had anything to do with the modern life.
Yes, yes. I remember when I started about 10 years ago, I was always very sort of shy about telling my friends what I was actually doing, because I think a lot of them would have thought I was an absolute loon, you know. They would have thought I was crazy, absolutely crazy. But quite rightly, as you say, as time has ticked on, I think people are becoming more and more aware. I think we have had our awareness raised, and I think people are starting to realise, through quantum mechanics, if you like, through the particle accelerator, through things like near-death experiences, I think people are really starting to realise that there is more to life. And
especially the way we look at it. I was reading something recently. Sorry to butt in on you there, Karen.
Yeah, no problems,
I was reading something recently that the whole world is a holographic image.
Yeah.
Now, I can't get my head around holograms, to be honest with you. I'd love to have an expert come in and give me the basic principles in it. Because if everything is a hologram, like what you see on the back of a bank card, you know, it's there when the light hits it in a certain point,
well,
then what is reality, you know?
Yeah, this is it. I know. What is reality? I mean, even things as basic as time. I mean, I watched a fantastic Horizon documentary a few weeks ago about a basic question: what is time?
Mm-hmm.
And something as simple as that, scientists are struggling to understand.
Got the experts baffled, Gail.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think Scousers understand something really important about time. Scousers know that time does its own thing.
Yeah.
And Einstein got us onto that, you know, that time bends.
It does, yeah.
And in actual fact, that in this studio with me now, besides me and the engineer and yourself on the other line, there's other dimensions, there's other parallel worlds, you know, past, future and present, but we're on a particular frequency.
Yes.
And the other frequencies are all there.
Yes.
And it's a bit like a radio situation where you have different stations and they overlap.
That's right, yeah.
And some people, like yourself, who are studying it, have a sensitivity for it, can pick it up.
Yes.
And you're sort of like a 21st century scout.
Yes.
You're going ahead of the pack to have a look for us.
Yes.
And, you know, and with that sensitivity you've got, able to come back and say to us, look, don't be scared, gang.
Yes.
You know, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not an oncoming train.
That's right. That's so true. That is so true, yes.
And it gives people positivity.
It does, yeah. I think this is what's certainly come out of the NDEs. The research that I did suggests that people who typically were very frightened, were in a lot of despair, some who were even suicidal, and actually got brought back from the brink, never, ever, ever tried to commit suicide again, because it had such a positive effect on their life.
Well, you can understand why suicide is looked at as a mortal sin, because our spirits fought to get here in the first place.
Yes.
You know, there's great competition to be on the planet.
That
these are just my feelings, you know, what I've thought about, because I'm in my 50s. I've had a long lot of time to think and to go over these things.
Yes.
You know, the other thing I wanted to ask you, the age group that has near-death experiences, is it more naturally inclined towards older people, or do young people have them too?
No, apparently, and this came out quite strongly in the research that I did, apparently there is no correlation whatsoever between age, race, gender, anything like that. It can happen literally to anybody.
Because it's interesting what you're saying, that, you know, there's no barrier between age and race and background.
Mm-hmm.
That it, there's a universal language here, isn't it? There's key archetypal images that people see. You were explaining to me about, you know, people reaching a boundary in a near-death experience. There's a wall to get over.
Yes, or a
river to cross, or a fence to climb.
That's right.
Now, they're all archetypal. They can be read in any language.
Yes, and it makes you wonder where those archetypes have come from. They must have come from somewhere.
The subconscious mind knows, doesn't it?
I think so.
The subconscious mind knows everything. Everything.
Yes.
Even the numbers for tonight's lottery.
Oh, I wish.
You'll have to get working on that, Karen.
Definitely, yeah.
So do you have any books our listeners may be able to get hold of?
Yes, I do. I can. One that is a brilliant one for people to start off with, and this one I read years ago, and that is Life After Life by Dr. Raymond Moody.
Yes.
And he was actually the guy who coined the term near-death experience.
Yeah.
So that is an excellent. In fact, he's written a number of books. He's written A Light Beyond Reunions, Life After Loss, Coming Back, Reflections, and The Last Laugh.
Done a lot of work on it.
So he really is the guru, if you like, if you want to start it. But I would say Life After Life, it's really well written, and it's a nice read.
Do you think that books like this and the work that you're doing, it could be incorporated into, you know, hospices and places like that, where people are already in a terminal condition, and it could be just as valid as them knowing, you know, the New Testament.
Yes.
Is also to know that.
Yes, more so because, you know, not everybody is religious, and this actually transcends religion.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that's a universal experience that applies to everybody, and it gives hope to absolutely anybody and everybody that, well, actually, just because your physical body dies, it doesn't mean that you, the person, actually dies, you see.
It's like John Lennon said, you know, you're stepping out of one car into another.
Yeah.
You know, another vehicle when you do reach the next life.
That's right. Yes.
Now, just before we go, Karen, would you give us the site address and anything relevant that you think the listeners would need to know?
Right. Well, my website address is www.paranormality.com, and that's just basically paranormal with ITY on the end, paranormality.com. But a couple of sites that they may wish to look at, certainly in terms of near-death experiences.
Yeah.
There's the Institute, I've just got that in front of me here, the International Association for Near-Death Studies, and that's a research body that's been set up.
So they've got reams of information on it.
They've got literally all the latest research, they've got people's
case histories,
you name it, anything you want to know about, you know, near-death experiences, they're a very good starting point. And the www address for that, if I can just get it for you.
She's just getting the pen out right now, kids.
That would be www.iands.org. And that's the International Association for Near-Death Studies. But another excellent one is www.near-death.com.
Oh, that's great.
And they're just as brilliant as well. They're really, really good.
Information is power, and knowledge is power to be peaceful.
Yes. And I have to add, the overriding message that has come out of all of these studies is light and love. So you're absolutely bang on there.
Yes, well, there's only two emotions, love and fear.
Yeah.
And the more we work with the love, the better for us all.
Absolutely.
Happy days, girl.
Yeah, and you, Maggie.
Ta-ra, Karen.
Ta-ra now.
Bye.
Bye now. Bye.
You're listening to City Talk
105.9. This is Margie Clark on City Talk 105.9.